Linda, Nedbank has called on government to have more urgency in implementing structural reforms to address the country's deteriorating economic and fiscal position. These factors have weighed on the company's interim numbers and negatively impacts the outlook for the full year period. During the half year, headline earnings were lifted by nearly 3%. Revenue is up close to 6%, and an interim dividend of R7.20 has been declared, reflecting a near 4% rise. Mike Brown, Chief Executive of Nedbank, joins us in studio now with more context around the economics behind the numbers. Thanks so much, Mike, for joining us in studio this evening. So we know banks are seen as a proxy for SA Inc. and the rise in impairments up 40% has raised quite a few eyebrows in terms of what it speaks, to around the health of the real economy. Just how bad are things?
I think it's really tough in the economy out there. You just have to look at all of the data points that your viewers will know so well. The 3.2% drop in GDP in the first quarter, the rise in unemployment rates that we've seen last week. So inherent in our numbers today, it's clear that the South African economy is at a really critical juncture, and it is going to need clear economic policy. It's going to need us to take the tough decisions, and it's going to need significantly more action and a lot less speaking than we have become accustomed to in the last few months.
So you're looking at broad-based pressure, but I was speaking to a banking analyst earlier today, and he highlighted just, how one large corporate impairment can hit pretty hard. Is that what we're looking at on your side, or is it more broad-based?
I think if we look at impairments or bad debts, the most relevant ratio in banking is something called our credit loss ratio, which is for every 100 rand we lend out, what are we writing off in bad debts? Mm-hmm. And actually, if we go back to the base, June 2018, we had a 53 basis point credit loss ratio. That is exceptionally low. We expect to run the bank through cycles at somewhere between 60 and 100 basis points. So the base from last year was very, very low. The first 6 months of this year, that base increased to 70 basis points. So that produces the 40% increase that you spoke about. But in actual terms, our credit losses are still in the bottom half of our through the cycle target range.
Yeah, as your results were pretty emphatic about. Having said that, though, you have called for more urgent government intervention to deal with some of the structural issues that persist and impede economic growth as we see it. Are your calls being heard? Are the real conversations being had? Or is there still just too much distraction at this stage of the game?
So certainly some of those conversations have been had, but it does feel like in South Africa that there's still so much infighting going on that is distracting from the real issues that need to be resolved. And certainly front of mind for us remains Eskom, which is the elephant in the room in the South African economy. And right now, what we have is a taxpayer-funded bailout of Eskom, and I think that was our least worst alternative in the situation that we are in. But we still don't have any line of sight on structural changes, leadership changes, operational capacity, or the longer-term financing of Eskom. So the so-called white paper on Eskom, which should really be the conditions attached to the taxpayer-funded bailout, is still not there.
Yeah. So how do you then, in that context, manage or mitigate against the risk of South Africa losing its grip on its last investment grade standing at this stage, so that we aren't sitting in a all-fall-down scenario?
So I think what we've said in our results is it's really a call for these urgent structural reforms, not so much because of the impacts on Nedbank's profitability. That's secondary in the grand scheme of things. But it is to ensure that we can retain our last investment grade credit rating. So we need to produce this white paper on Eskom and to be seen to be implementing the restructuring. We need to produce the actual wording for changes in the Land Expropriation Bill and in Section 25 of the Constitution, so that uncertainty can be taken off the table. We need to be certain what we really mean by either nationalization of the Saab or the changes in the Saab mandate, because to many investors, that's an unnecessary distraction from the real challenge of structural reform. And I think if we can get through those things, we can retain our investment grade rating. Unfortunately, if we can't, I think it's inevitable that Moody's will revise their rating.
Does clarity or progress on those fronts, Mike, necessarily speak to then less of a need to cut headcount at your operations? Because, yes, that's, you know, some of the forces that are playing against you right now, but it's within an increasingly digital arena.
Well, I think there's two big forces that would be at play here across the entire system. One is the slowdown in the economy, and the other is digitization. And all of those are over time going to cause a reduction in headcount across the banking sector. From a Nedbank point of view specifically, we've tried extremely diligently to manage that reduction through natural attrition. And there are some reports out there that we are looking to retrench 1,500 people. Yeah. To use the words of President Trump, that's simply fake news. What we are currently doing is merging two areas in our business. An area in business banking with another area in retail relationship banking. And under labor law, whenever you merge two businesses, you are required to consult. So we are consulting with 1,500 people in our organization. That's absolutely true. But we currently expect to place 1,400 of them in the new revised structure. So it is likely that there will only be about 100 people who would not have jobs in the new structure. And what we try diligently to do is place them elsewhere in the organization with retrenchment as only a last resort.
Have you been having any talks at all with SASPO, who is planning on coming through with a two-day strike next month?
SASPO haven't approached us at all. We read about their proposed strike in the press, just like you did, and we would fully expect to engage with them to try and present the facts of the situation. So again, factually, in the last 12 months, we've reduced our headcount in the bank by about 1,000 people, of which 21 were retrenchments. The balance we were able to manage through natural attrition.
Having said that, how much investment are you making now on the workforce of the future, Mike?
Significant investment in the workforce of the future. Both in terms of changing all of our training programs in the organization. So many of our training programs that were largely classroom-based are now experiential, taking people to Kenya, taking people to Silicon Valley in the US, and also providing all of our staff with access to online training programs to ensure that our staff do their part in equipping them, their own selves, to be digitally proficient in the new era of banking.
And of course, this as you endeavor with your aspirations to become a digital bank. I've got to ask you very quickly, your business seemingly bolstered, in its slight way by Africa and the business you're seeing there. How much of a buffer are you seeing provided by your African operations, or are we looking more at a low base effect?
Well, so, you know, from a Nedbank point of view, our African operations are still relatively small, but they're growing strongly off a low base. So at a high level, our big South African businesses ran incredibly hard in the first 6 months of this year to stay roughly in the same place. And then our rest of Africa businesses grew slightly faster than that, which produced the overall 3.5% growth in headline earnings per share.
Mike, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Mike Brown is Chief Executive of Nedbank.